Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, thank you for joining me for this episode. This episode I'm going to discuss the fact that a lot of religious people think that atheists don't have morals or ethics because we don't have a book or anything to follow. So that's what I'm going to discuss today. And if you're listening live, you can always give me a call at 646-716-8444, or I actually open up the chat for this broadcast so you can come into the chat and ask questions or participate in the conversation. So without further ado, let's start. So I'm more familiar with Christianity as far as their Ten Commandments and their ethics and morals because I grew up as a Christian. So that's why I discuss this a little bit more than Islam or Judaism, even though in the Ten Commandments it is Judaism. But this is coming from my previous background as a Christian, so and how they teach these things. Basically, when you grow up, you know, you're told to memorize the Ten Commandments. So let's just kind of go over them really quick. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. I can think of a few things that are missing from that list. Like, oh, I don't know, rape. how about abusing children? You know, things like that, that these people, like, they have these holy Ten Commandments that they follow. Oh, you have to respect your mother and your father. Well, what if this child who grew up, you know, thinking that these are the holiest of holies, these are what you're supposed to follow as your life, respect your mother and your father, right? What if one or both of them are abusive to you? Well, it's very contradictory because in the Bible it states how to train up your child and abuse is allowed. You're allowed to physically, emotionally, and mentally abuse your child. There is nothing against that in the Bible. It actually tells you how to abuse your child to get them, you know, to act proper or respect authority or whatever. So as a child, you grow up learning these things, but your mother and your father are the ones abusing you. So what do you do? You know, it's very confusing, especially for a young mind, because obviously, you know, they love their parents, but at the same time, their parents are hurting them, whether it be physical, mental, or emotional. Now, for me, I view religious indoctrination in children as child abuse, period. Mental and physical, or mental, emotional, and sometimes physical. But, you know, if you raise your child to respect things based on the Ten Commandments, how do you expect them to discern when they are being abused to actually report that issue to a proper authority or, you know, to speak out against it? You can't. It's like saying, you know, here's this candy you're supposed to, you know, eat it a certain way, but if you don't eat it a certain way, you're going to go to hell. I mean, it's very confusing for a kid. And that's just the basic. That's a horrible example, but you know what I mean. It becomes this thing with a child to where they don't know what to do, and it becomes that they fear their parents, they fear God, they fear going to hell. So you're basically raising your child to fear. Now, I raised my son when he was little. You know, we were semi-Christian. He was baptized. I don't want to hear any comments about that because I do understand what baptismal water contains now, but at the time I didn't. But, you know, I didn't really promote the Ten Commandments. I wasn't a staunch Christian. I didn't, you know, talk about it that much. But so I raised him to grow up to be ethical, and if someone touched him in a way that was inappropriate, to tell someone. You know, I didn't instill a fear in him that, oh, you have to respect me no matter what, otherwise you're going to go to hell according to, you know, this commandment. So that's just one thing at the top of my head. So let's just go down the list, I guess. We'll do it that way. Again, this is only my second show, so I'm still a little bit rusty. Okay, so you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, I understand that. I mean, you know, you have a religion, you have one God. You know, obviously you don't want them to worship anything else, because if they do, then more than likely they're not going to be a part of that religion, right? So I get that. But it's like, why would you even bother putting that in the commandment? What does it matter? Especially because that was the only God. I mean, I get that they were trying to counteract, you know, the Egyptian gods and stuff like that. But it's like, why would you have to put that in there if your religion was true? If your religion was true and your Bible was your holy book and it was considered to be the word of God and you have followers, isn't that automatically a given that that's the only God that you're going to worship? So why not replace that with, how about, let's not rape someone? You know, that, I mean, that just makes more sense to me. And then the second one, you shall not make idols. This one always got me. And I actually got in trouble because I actually asked a priest this one time whenever I was a teenager. You know, they say you shall not make idols about heaven, about anything like that. But the Catholics, they have all kinds of idols. And even in Christianity in general, when you wear a cross, that's technically an idol. You made an idol of someone who is in heaven, which is against the second commandment. So, again, being contradictory, but I never got it, so I asked the priest, you know, if you're not supposed to worship idols, why do you have, you know, all these saints? Why do you have Mary, Joseph? You have Jesus. You have all of these things. You have rosary beads. You've got all of these different idols that are supposed to be, you know, out there, but you worship them, but you're not supposed to. And it was just like, well, that's just the way it is. You know, you don't need to ask that question. That's just the way it is. The false idol meant the gold. You're not supposed to make a gold lamb, okay? Well, you know, you have statues. They're made of marble, granite, gold, silver. I mean, they're made of every kind of material. So, again, it's like, why would you make that if that goes against your second commandment? But you're portraying these commandments as the way you live your life and the way you have ethics and morals. And then you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Again, I get it. You know, don't say God damn it or Jesus fucking Christ. Like, you shouldn't say that kind of stuff. I get it. You know, they want you to be respectful of the person you're worshiping, right? But again, does that really need to be in the Ten Commandments? This isn't just a part of the Bible. This is the holiest of holy. These are the rules you're supposed to follow. Why does that have to be in there? If, again, your book is holy, you're supposed to love God. So if, again, replace that with, you shall not abuse a child. You shall not abuse somebody else. You shall not rape. Just, I mean, that's two right there that could have been replaced with something really important. But again, in the Bible, it was allowed to rape. You're allowed to abuse a child. So, again, kind of contradictory, I guess. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, this is where it kind of gets a little fuzzy between Judaism and Christianity, because the Sabbath day for Jews is from Friday at sundown till Saturday at sundown. For Christians, it's Sundays. And again, I got in trouble for asking this because Judaism is before Christianity. Christianity is based off of Judaism. It's a continuation. The Old Testament is a part of the Bible. It's not a separate part. They don't have two separate books in Christianity. It is all in one book. You cannot, and I love it whenever Christians say, oh, well, that's a part of the Old Testament. The New Testament wipes out the Old Testament. Really? So without the Old Testament, you don't have the New Testament, but you still believe some stuff in the Old Testament that you want to believe just because it makes you feel good, because you like it. It doesn't make sense. Adam and Eve, Moses, Noah, those were all part of the Old Testament, and the Christians still adopt that. So you cannot say, oh, well, I only adopt those three things, but everything else, you know, that's just the Jews. You can't say that when you claim that your Bible is the Word of God. You cannot say that one part is false just because you don't like it. It's, again, another contradiction. The Ten Commandments is just full of contradictions. And I spoke about this at the beginning, honor your father and your mother. Well, what if they're abusive? What if your father is a drunk, your mother is a drug addict? What are you supposed to do? You don't want to tell someone about it because you're supposed to honor your father and your mother, right? Otherwise, if you don't, guess what the consequence is? You're going to go to hell, or God's going to judge you. Imagine, as a child, I mean, some of you might have been raised with religion, so just think back to when you were taught these things as a child. Inside your mind, this was a given. The Ten Commandments just were. It was like breathing air, like you don't ask questions. But again, if you were in a bad home life, what do? You fear hell more than you fear the physical pain of your parents? Well, what do? And you shall not murder. This one is actually, it's stated different ways in different translations. You shall not murder, you shall not kill. Because it's, when someone, like when a Christian tries to make a case for that they are for capital punishment, you shall not murder, you shall not kill. It's basically they're saying that you shall not do that, like a serial killer or someone robbing a store, you know, or whatever. Like, that's what they're talking about. But capital punishment is a little bit different, because to them, it's they're paying for their crime. So you can kill as long as it's for the right reason. And this kind of brings me to a good point about that, too, because how do you feel as an atheist about capital punishment or about murder? If someone murdered your child, would you want to see them die? You know, I mean, it's one of those things where is it okay for certain situations? I mean, that is a moral dilemma, I would say, with regardless of religion or without religion. Do you punish someone by death for them committing murder? Is it one and the same? You know, what do you do? Because for me personally, I support capital punishment only if, and listen to me on this one, only if it is 100% positive that that person committed a heinous act. If a person rapes a baby and it's proven 100% that they did it, I'm sorry, that person deserves to die. And that's just the way I feel. I'm not going to make an excuse for it. I don't tolerate acts like that. I mean, that's just something I just won't tolerate. So, but a lot of people have an issue with capital punishment. I have an issue with our current system, but not with the capital punishment itself. You shall not commit adultery. You know, this is one of those gray areas for me, because I don't believe in marriage. I think that it's a horrible institution. Some people love it. I personally don't. And if you want to get married, more power to you. This whole gay marriage movement. Hey, if you all want to get married, I don't care. I don't want to stand in your way. But as far as you shall not commit adultery, that's kind of disingenuous, because humans are not supposed to mate for life. The reason we're not supposed to mate for life is because we are an evolving species. Not physically, even though I guess technically we are, but like emotionally and mentally, we evolve throughout our lives. I'm not the same person I was a year ago, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. I'm not going to be the same person I am today 10 years from now. I constantly evolve based on new evidence, based on life experiences. You know, I'm going to change throughout my life. And what happens if you marry someone and you are evolving in separate ways? It's just not meant to be. I mean, some people can make it work, and I think that's fantastic. I know a couple of people who are married to, quote-unquote, their soulmates, or, you know, people that they really love, and some people can, you know, evolve together and stay on the same path with one another, and I think that's fantastic. I just don't see humans mating for life. So this whole adultery thing, I mean, obviously, if you're not happy in your relationship, end it. I get it. But it shouldn't be a commandment. That shouldn't be the basis of your morality. If you cheat on someone, yeah, you're a horrible person, but you're not going to go to hell for it. I mean, geez. Yeah, it hurts the other person, but get over it. I'm sorry. You know, it takes two to tango. So, I mean, you have to know, if you're in a relationship and it's going south, you've got to know somewhere deep down in your psychosis that this relationship is not working. I mean, even if you don't want to admit it to yourself, you've got to admit it. Most people who have been cheated on knew at the time that they were being cheated on. Most. I'm not saying all. I'm saying most. just because they felt something wrong in their relationship, whatever. But it shouldn't be a commandment. You shouldn't fear any kind of eternal hellfire for going out and cheating on your spouse. Yeah, you're a dick for doing it, but, I mean, it shouldn't be... It should not be a commandment. Like, that, again, that commandment could be replaced with something else. You shall not steal. True. I agree with that. However, when you think of something like that, put into perspective someone who is homeless or someone in a third world country who has no food. Is it okay to steal a loaf of bread to feed your family? Is it okay? Some people say no. I say yes. If you're trying your best to support your family, but there's just, I mean, it's just an impossibility. Now, I'm not saying go out and rob a store. I mean, that's obviously no. But I'm saying, like, if you are hungry, and even if you're homeless in the United States and you're hungry and you steal an apple from the grocery store, do I think that you should burn an eternal hellfire for it? No. You know, but again, I'm not talking about going in, robbing a store, taking cash. I'm talking about, you know, dire consequences to where it's your life, you know, your children's lives, and you're doing your best to nourish your children so that way they can stay alive. There's a little bit of a difference there. But, you know, again, I don't think that this should be in one of those holiest of holies. If you break this, you know, there's going to be consequences to pay, like horrible consequences to pay. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You know, I don't even know why that's in there. Sometimes neighbors can be assholes. I mean, seriously. You know, you've got those neighbors, like I have, these neighbors that just blare music from 2 in the morning till 6 in the morning. They're just complete jerks, okay? And if I had the chance to get them in trouble, I probably would, just because they're dicks. And, you know, loud music, it in an apartment building, it just, I mean, nobody does anything. So it's like, you know, if I can get you just once, yeah, I probably wouldn't. But, you know, it's always nice to think about it. Again, not something you should burn for. That's just what I'm saying. And you shall not covet. Again, I get it. But I don't see how any of these commandments represents morality. I don't understand it. So, what do we do as atheists, right? As an atheist, you have no book to look to. And there's this meme going around and a saying going around that if you need a book to base your morals and ethics on, you're in a lot more trouble than that, okay? You shouldn't need a guide to realize that you should be a good person just to be a good person. You should help other people. You know, if you see someone struggling and you can help them in whatever way, do it. Show empathy for others. And that is the biggest thing that is missing in religion and in the conservative circles is empathy. Nobody has empathy for one another. Just put yourself in someone else's shoes to understand where they're coming from. It doesn't really take that much. All it takes is a heart, really, just to understand that somebody else can be struggling. And, you know, to say, you know, I understand. I understand what's going on. Just to feel for them and help them out. Lend an ear. You know, post a funny picture to make them laugh. Anything, you know, anything like that. Like, I raised my son to be respectful of others and to understand other people's problems and, you know, things like that. We were actually leaving a store one time, and there was an elderly couple. The woman was in a wheelchair, and we were waiting to walk out the door because it was like a real small area. And they were struggling. And my son bolts up, and I really thought that he just wanted to go out. He opens the exit door the opposite way and goes out, and I'm ready to yell at him. And he goes, and he opens the door for that couple. And I thought, you know, that's really awesome. He was 4 or 5 at the time, and I just couldn't believe that he had that much thought to say, I'm going to help you. And just something simple like that, opening doors, picking up something that someone dropped, you know, it just takes something that simple, smiling at someone, saying hello, asking how they're doing, helping them in the grocery store. I do it all the time when someone's, like, looking and staring at the aisle, and you can just tell that they're perplexed. I'll ask them, do you need help? You know? I've helped so many people, because I'm tall, I'm 5'7", so I've helped so many people get stuff off the top shelves. This is the other day, I was at the store and somebody said, "Do you know where the soy sauce is?" And I'm like, "You know, it's in a really weird spot. I think it's 2 aisles over." So I didn't just leave it there. I actually went 2 aisles over to make sure that that's where it was. And I found her because she was still kind of like going up and down the aisles. I was like, "Here's the soy sauce. I found it." You know, just something simple like that. It doesn't take much effort. It doesn't take much time. But you're showing other people that you care. And that's the biggest thing. And I think that that's how, as far as me being an atheist, that's how I raise my son. Show other people that you care. Do not go out and kill someone. And that's stupid. Why would you do that? That should be, you know, at the top of the thing. But again, like I said, capital punishment, one thing. But, you know, don't go out and just kill someone to kill someone. You know, that's, you have a mental problem if that's the way you feel. And you probably should seek help. And it's okay to seek help. And I don't want people to think that whenever someone says you need to seek help, that it's a bad thing. It's not. When someone tells you you need to seek help, go and seek help. Call a counselor. Call a therapist. Call a psychologist. Leave a psychologist or a psychiatrist alone, because all that they do is push drugs anyway. But, you know, it's not a bad thing. And you shouldn't have to worship anything. If you do worship something, worship yourself. You know, treat yourself like a god, because your life is important. You are the one taking care of your family. You know, worship your kids. Raise them up. Tell them how proud you are of them every day. That's what I do every day with my son. I tell him how proud I am of him. I love him. Thank you. Sometimes I'll just randomly go up to my son and just be like, "Thank you." And he'll be like, "For what?" "Well, just for being you." You know, that makes him so proud. That makes him feel confident. That makes him know that you love them without actually saying, "I love you." Obviously, you want to say, "I love you," but you can do it in different ways. You know, like my son will come home. He might have got a B on a test, and he gets really upset when he gets a B. And he'll come in, his head will be hanging. The first thing I ask him is, "Do you know where you went wrong?" "Yeah, I can't believe I did that. It was a stupid mistake." "Well, did you learn from your mistake?" "Yeah, I won't do it again." "Well, there you go." "Oh, you're not mad?" "No, I'm not mad." "Did you learn?" "Yeah." "Well, there you go." That's what life is. Life is about learning and living. You have to make mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, how do you ever expect to get better? How do you expect to learn? Let your kids make mistakes. Don't yell at them for it. Don't beat them. I mean, they're kids. We all have made mistakes. I know that we all talk about that. "Oh, well, yeah, we've all made mistakes before, blah, blah, blah." But you don't really expand on that. You don't really remember what it's like to be a kid and make a simple mistake and feel like, "Oh, my goodness, I'm letting my mom down. I'm letting my dad down. I'm letting whoever down." You know, being a kid, everything is global. Everything matters, especially being, like, really young, like whenever they're in preschool and kindergarten, first grade, because everything is a new experience for them. And when they make a mistake, it's like, stop world, it's ending. But don't let it be that way. Ask them what they learned from it. "Did you learn from this?" "Yeah, well, what did you learn? Did you learn how to correct that? Did you learn where you went wrong?" And have them expand on that. Make it a learning experience. Every mistake should be a learning experience. You know, and I raise my kid, you know, to respect, have manners, and have empathy for others. And that's basically where atheists should go. They should raise their kids just with those basics. You don't need a book to do that. You just need to know that being a decent human being is being a decent human being, period. You don't need 10 commandments. You don't need the fear of a hell or the promise of a heaven. You just need to be a good person. And I wish that more people were empathetic. Again, that's the biggest thing that religion is missing, is empathy. Yeah, they talk about their Jesus and how he helped people, but he also stated that he did not come to just demolish the laws. He came to enforce them. And that's one thing that those people forget about. Yeah, he stopped some women from being stoned. That's great. But again, you're still basing your beliefs off of a fictitious character that is supposed to create miracles, that if he touches you, it'll be all better. You know, that's not the way life works. There's no magic pill for anything. It's kind of like this whole diet phase. There's no magic pill for diets. And people know this. I mean, it's a billion-dollar industry, but people still know this. But because of religious beliefs and all that, like they think that there's miracles and that stuff happens just because you wish it so. That's not true, and that is not good to raise your children with. You cannot raise your child to think that if I think hard enough, I think I can, that it'll magically appear. You teach your children that if something needs to be done, you do it or you get help for it from a physical person or being. You don't get help for it by thinking that it'll magically get better. It's not going to happen. And again, that kind of brings me back to the beginning of the show. That's a great way to wrap this up. When you teach your children that magical thinking powers will fix certain situations if you pray hard enough to a god, you are doing them so much harm, especially the kids that have a bad home life or even just are in a bad economic situation. Their parents might be great people, but they're just maybe in a bad neighborhood or, you know, there's just something going wrong. And they pray and they pray and they pray and nothing changes. The moms pray. The dads pray. Everybody's praying for this magical fix. But nobody's doing anything to actually fix the problem. They're waiting for something, for someone out of the sky to say, oh, poof, it's all better now. That's not the way life works. My mom always raised me that there's three people you need to count on, me, myself, and I. And while I agree with that a good bit, I mean, you do need to rely on others for help sometimes. But really, if you want to make a situation change, that's it. Me, myself, and I. That is the best thing that I can tell someone. You want something done, you got to do it. You can't just sit there and think about it. And when a child thinks about it like that, we're being so disingenuous to those children, and we're raising them to think that things get magically fixed without work, without putting effort. You know, and if they don't get fixed, what happens? They're left thinking, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe God doesn't love me enough. And what does that do to their psyche? So anyway, I want to thank you guys for listening to my rambles. I appreciate it. Sorry I screwed up a couple times, but it's one of those things, again, still kind of rusty. Hopefully my third show will be a little bit better. But anyway, so you out there, if you're raising secular kids, more power to you. Keep going, because just raise your kids to respect others, respect humanity, respect life, and be empathetic towards others. Please, that's the one thing I can beg you to push on your kids, is to be empathetic to other people. All right, guys, well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed it, you know, my long rambling there. And I hope to see you for the next show. Have a great one.